Turn to Psalm 95. I don't have a whole lot to speak on tonight as far as not a long message. But I do want us to look at Psalm 95 for just a few moments before we go home. And we do trust each of you do have a great Thanksgiving with your family. Now, we'll be preaching from Psalms this coming Sunday. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, a different psalm. So for these three services, we will be looking at the book of Psalms. Speaking tonight on the thought, the proper approach to the presence of God. The proper approach to the presence of God. Thank you for being here, and thank you folks that are watching for being a part of this service as well. Verse number one, Psalm 95. The Bible says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." There's a word. "And make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. In His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice," let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for the service that we've already been a part of and enjoyed. Thank You tonight for the music and the testimonies, and now the reading of the Word. And I pray You'll bless these brief few moments together. And our Father, we do pray for safety in traveling, for a wonderful family time with our church people as they celebrate Thanksgiving in just a couple days. We ask You, Lord, to bless them. Give us a good time together right now, briefly in the Word of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The proper approach to the presence of God. May I begin tonight by saying that I believe there is an improper approach to the presence of God as well as a proper approach to the presence of God. I believe God can be approached improperly and God can be approached properly. This evening, I think we have some guidelines, some areas in this psalm that will give us an understanding as to how to better approach the presence of God. Psalm 95 is considered to be a preface to the millennial psalms. In other words, psalms pertaining to the millennium. It's believed by reputable Bible scholars that Psalm 95 is one of those psalms that expresses praise for redeemed Israel in the coming millennium. There are many that believe that, and I tend to also believe that as well. It's messianic in the sense that it's referring to the Messiah. Yet the application can be made to the saints of God in all ages. So again, we look at the application. Now, you'll look in verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise." You might be interested to know that the word joyful can also be translated loud. Loud. Make a loud noise. I'd say if we make a loud noise, let's make sure that that loud noise makes sense. Let's make sure it's in keeping with praising and honoring the Lord, but it could be translated loud noise. Just thought out that won't cost you anything. That's just a little extra tidbit here. But you know, the Bible here in this verse talks about the rock of our salvation. The rock. I'm thinking of a passage in 2 Samuel that actually has been converted. The psalm has been converted into a song that sometimes you hear sung in churches. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22 verse 47, "The Lord liveth," boy, I wish I could sing that, "The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, exalted be the God of my salvation. The Lord liveth, blessed be the rock. Anybody know that? Comes from that verse. Am I the only one? Tell me. Please help me. The Lord liveth. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Exalted be the God of my salvation. That's actually committed to a song, really. So now, where am I going with this tonight? Well, again, kind of a pre-Thanksgiving message. Just a couple comments or things to say about Thanksgiving. This psalm complements Thanksgiving. It really does. I read something rather humorous. It didn't start out sounding very humorous at first, the way the story went. But I heard of an account of a man before Thanksgiving in Phoenix. He had two children. Each one of them lived in a different state. He called a son in New York City, and he told his son that his mother and him were getting a divorce. They just got tired of each other. They've been married 45 years, but they're just tired of each other. And then the father told his son that lived in New York, he said, you call your sister in Chicago, and you tell her the same thing, that their mother and father is going to be getting a divorce. So the sister said, that's what you think. They're not going to get a divorce. So the sister called her father and said, you wait till we get there. Don't even say anything more about divorce. You wait till we get there. So then the father turned and looked at his wife and he said, guess what, honey? He said, the kids will be here for Thanksgiving and they'll be paying for the airfare. That wasn't too bad, was it? That's a good way to get the kids in and let them pay the airfare. Now, just a few quick thoughts. First of all, let me mention this. We're talking about the proper approach to the presence of God. Number one, it ought to be a presence with gratitude, don't you think? With gratitude. Verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. So we ought to come into His presence with gratitude. Every time we come into the presence of God, it ought to be with gratitude. Amen. Whether it's in a church meeting, whether it's a personal prayer, anytime we come into God's presence, we ought to come with grateful hearts. We could break this thing of gratitude down and we could mention a few things that we ought to be grateful for. Some of them I've already touched on, one of them in particular this past Sunday. But I would say this, we ought to be grateful for the gift of God. For the gift of God. This past Sunday we mentioned 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. So we ought to be thankful for the gift of God. Now, in looking at this passage here, he talks about the rock of our salvation. Then, of course, I tried to sing that rock song, and y'all looked at me with a puzzled look, and so I won't try that anymore. But there's a lot of good verses in the Bible that talks about God being our rock. We ought to be thankful this evening. I'll figure out what time it is in a minute. We ought to be thankful that our salvation, and here's a point, we ought to be thankful tonight that our salvation is as solid as a rock because it's built on the rock. Psalm 40, verse number 2. He brought me also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Our salvation is as solid as a rock. People with religion don't have a solid foundation. People that have a hope so, not for sure type of a thing, don't have a solid foundation. But we tonight have a solid foundation. Our salvation is as solid as a rock because Jesus is the rock. Amen? He's a rock. You know, J.P. Morgan, the great financier, the first clause of his will, when he began to put together his will, he made a statement about his salvation, and here's what he wrote. He said, "This is the only possession of which I can and will boast." J.P. Morgan had millions of dollars, but in his will, he made it clear that the only thing, possession, he could really boast in was salvation. That's pretty good, wasn't it? We ought to be thankful tonight for the greatness of God. The greatness of God. Verse number 3, chapter 95 again. Look at verse number 3. The Lord is a great God. A great King above all gods. The greatness of God. No one was ever born like He was born. He was virgin born. No one ever died like He died. He died a vicarious death. No one ever rose from the dead like He did. He came victorious over death, hell, and the grave. No one ever ascended back to heaven like He did. And no one's ever prepared a place in heaven for us like He is. And no one's coming back like He's coming. We ought to be thankful tonight for a great God. A great God. The songwriter said this. You've heard that song, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." Well, we ought to add something to that though. We ought to say, before we work, we'll worship. And then we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll start out by worshiping. And then we'll work till Jesus comes. I like a church sign. It was on a billboard of a church somewhere. It had this wording, "Enter to worship, leave to serve." So we enter to worship, we leave to serve. I believe it begins with worship. It begins with the presence of God. It begins with coming into His presence in the awareness of who He is and praising Him and honoring Him, and then we leave to serve. By the way, worship, when we talk about worship tonight, let's be clear something. Worship is worship of Almighty God. Worship is worship of a sovereign, eternal God. May I be clear tonight and say this, that God is not our good buddy in the sky. We worship a holy God. I believe it would pay people to realize when they talk about worship, we worship a God who's holy. And some people have relegated Him, brought Him down to the level where He's somewhat like just a good buddy in the sky. No, He's a thrice holy God. And it's well for us that we understand we worship Him in light of the character of His deity and His being. I believe the worship of a holy God demands reverence and respect. That's how we come into the presence of God. He's great in His power to save, isn't He? The Bible says in Psalm 103 verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Great in His power to save. I want you to look at this psalm again. Notice verse 4. The Bible says, "In His hand." In His hand. Note this. "Are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also." In His hand. Not only by His hand He created, but by His hand He controls. The same hand that created is a hand that controls. The Bible says the strength of the hills is His also. In His hand are the deep places of the earth, so He controls as well as creates. That leads me to say this tonight. Boy, am I thankful for this truth. in spite of all of the threats out in this world, in spite of the weapons of mass destruction, in spite of the killer viruses, in spite of the international terrorism, we can be thankful that the great and powerful God is ultimately in control. In spite of all those threats, God is ultimately in control. Then, we ought to be thankful for His goodness. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." Give thanks to Him because He's good. You know, I find it very touching to my heart that God is not only God, but God is good. He's good. That's what a member of the church that I used to pastor in Salisbury told me one time when I was grieving the loss of my father. My dad had just passed away. And this member of that church, he didn't say a whole lot to me, but I've never forgotten him saying that. He said to me, "Pastor, God is good." And that's all I needed. You see, that helped me to get through the burden of losing my father, because I still knew that God is good. So, you know, we ought to be thankful for that tonight. God is good. Amen. Then we ought to be thankful that God is generous. God is generous. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God is generous. You know, one great problem that we Americans have is we take for granted the blessings of God. We tend to be covetous sometimes and aren't even aware that we are covetous. It reminds me of two friends that bumped into each other. They hadn't seen each other for a long time. And one of them had a real sad-looking, solemn face. And his friend said, "Why are you so sad?" And his friend said this. He said, "My uncle died and left me $40,000. And his friend said, "Then why are you so sad?" And then the guy answers back up again. He says, "That's not all." He said, "I had a cousin that died and left me $85,000. And then the buddy looked at him and said, "Then tell me, please tell me, then why are you sad?" The friend said to him, he said, "I'll tell you why." He said, "I haven't gotten anything this week." You know, that's human nature. We ought to be thankful to God for His generosity. Notice this, Psalm 103, verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." All His benefits. A poor man was given a loaf of bread one time, and the poor man thanked the baker. The baker told him, he said, "Don't thank me." He said, "Thank the miller who made the flour." So then the man went over to the miller to thank the miller. And the miller said, "Don't thank me." He said, "Thank the farmer who planted the wheat." So then the man went to the farmer who planted the wheat to thank him. And the farmer said, "Don't thank me." He said, "Thank the God that sent the rain and sent the sunshine to cause the wheat to grow." Amen. You see, it all goes back to God, doesn't it? In fact, James put it perfectly when he said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." James chapter 1, verse 17. We ought to approach the presence of God with gratitude. Amen. Then verse number 2, very quickly, we ought to approach the presence of God with joy. Verse 2, "Come before His presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." I believe when we come into the presence of God, I believe God is pleased when His people have joy. When they come into His presence with gratitude, but yet joyful in spirit, counting their blessings, thankful for what He has done, I believe it pleases the Heavenly Father when His people come before Him not with a sullen countenance, but with a joyful heart, with a radiant glow on their faces, because they're just basking in the sunshine of God's blessing. Then finally, we should approach the presence of God with an awareness all the time. Verse 5, the sea is His. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Then it says, oh, come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We ought to approach His presence with an awareness that He has made it all. He is a creator. He is a sustainer. He is in control. I believe God is pleased when we come into His presence with this type of an approach. Worship, praising, joyful, and grateful for all that He's done. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless now, we pray, as we go home, as we have our Thanksgiving celebration together. Bless each family. Bless each one. Thank You for this study in Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to go home. Thank You. God bless each of you. Have a great Thanksgiving. Amen. All right.